The Speakeasy Podcast Network.
Men of Letters, a supernatural podcast.
This is Dad's single most valuable possession. Everything he knows about every evil thing is in here. He's passed it on to us. I think he wants us to pick up where he left off. You know, saving people, hunting things, the family business.
Storm's coming. You boys, your daddy, you are smack in the middle of it.
House rules, Sammy. Driver picks the music. Shotgun shuts his cake hole.
No chick flick moments.
All right, jerk, bitch.
That Constance chick, what a bitch!
Or you think it's shooting Casper in the face, you freak.
Eat me. No, wait, you actually might.
Hope your apple pie is freaking worth it!
Welcome back, loyal Supernatural fans and listeners, and Happy New Year to everyone! We are back after what seems to be extended, unplanned hiatus. We hope that during our second season recordings, we'll be able to record on a more frequent basis. Anyway, Katie, my dear friend, how are you, and what have you been up to since our last recording? I think, was it May or June?
Oh, dude, that was so long ago, I don't even remember! I'm fantastic, though. How are you?
I'm fantastic, thanks for asking.
No. Yes.
Oh, no, just lots of stuff going on. I mean, I was coaching my son's baseball team and flag football teams. I was helping out my daughter's soccer team. My wife is a head coach for that, as well as taking my daughter dance class and tennis. And last September, we got to go to Cabo for our 12-year anniversary. It was supposed to be our 10-year anniversary, and that was very nice. And now it's...
Stop bragging.
What's that?
I said, I saw the pictures. Stop bragging.
Yes. So, all in all, very busy and tiring summer, fall, and well, now winter. I'm looking out my bay window right now, and the snow is coming down in wonderful Minnesota, don't you know? Yeah, you got snow too, don't you, right now?
Oh, like a smattering of snow. Uh-huh. I've got foggy windows from all my hot breathed children. And it's like, hardly any snow. It's all melted by now, so.
Oh, because I thought you were supposed to get socked with some snow, like, today. Or is that tomorrow? You're supposed to get, like, 17 inches of snow.
They said, but I'm still waiting.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah.
Tom's my best friend, but sometimes he's totally wrong.
Yeah. Well, the way my mother was talking, because I talked to her the other day, she was like, yeah, everybody was running to the grocery stores, like, thinking it's the end of the world. I'm like, well, everybody that we know of has lived through this before. There shouldn't be an issue, but, you know.
I had the polar vortex a few years back. Yeah. Like, it was like a mad dash to the grocery store, and I'm like, I just needed to get some milk and stuff, because I hadn't been to the store, but I guess I made a mistake.
Well, I know. I remember going to Meijer around that same time, around 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night, and still there are people in the store. I'm like, there shouldn't be anybody here. And the only reason I'm here is because I'm 2 blocks away.
Right? The lines were, like, backed up into, like, the children's aisle and the, you know, women's wear and whatever. It was insane.
Yeah, well, and they only have 2 cashiers opened always. They only have 2, in that for that huge ass store.
I know, right? Well, who do you think you are, Walmart?
Well, they're a little higher end than Walmart, but yeah.
Pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. Oh well, with that, are you ready to dive into tonight's episode?
Let's do this.
All right. Well. Tonight, we'll be covering episodes 21, Salvation, and the season finale, episode 22, The Devil's Trap. But before we dive into our review and discussion of Salvation, let's pause for our first Speakeasy commercial break, and then we'll roll that WB commercial trailer for Salvation. So stick around, we'll be right back after this.
Hey guys, what are you doing?
Oh, sit down, man. Crack a beer. I'm just telling Feeler about how Vlad the Impaler used to shove steaks up donkeys' asses.
Dude, this dude is so fucking gross, but it's so fucking awesome.
It sure is, buddy.
If you want to learn about everything from Vlad the Impaler to anime to rap feuds, join us here at the Junk Drawer Podcast.
That's right. Crack a beer, learn a little, and we'll talk about
our junk!
Yeah, we're going to do that.
You can find us at thejunkdrawerpod.podbean.com and at the speakeasypodcastnetwork.tumblr.com. Also, we're on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Junk Drawer.
Thursday.
The demon is coming tonight.
The incredible journey all comes down to this.
I just want this to be over.
The fight will not come without sacrifice.
You're never going to see your father again.
It's down to the final two episodes. Fresh Supernatural on the WB Thursday.
Salvation. Meg begins to target the Winchester's friends in order to force them to hand over the cult. John reveals to his sons the research on Azazel that he has accumulated over the years. Signs point to Salvation, Iowa, as the location of the demon's next target. So the trio heads there to investigate. After Sam has a premonition, he is able to identify the next victim. Before they can formulate a plan, Meg calls and threatens to kill more of their friends unless they hand over the gun. John concedes to her demand, but tries to deliver a fake one and is captured. Meanwhile, Sam and Dean are able to save the family from Azazel, but he escapes as Sam tries to kill him. At the end of the episode, Sam and Dean learn of their father's capture when they call him and Meg answers the phone instead. So, Katie, let's discuss Salvation. What did you think? Thoughts and feelings?
You know, because I had to watch the episode so many times.
Same here.
Right. So I did like it. I did like it. I would definitely say it's a pretty good episode. You know, and I love to hate Meg. Her character is just the worst. And yes. She's so good at, like, that actress is so good at being the worst.
Yes.
So I really did like it.
Yes. Now, a little peek. I really enjoyed the episode a lot. And a little peek behind the curtain. We have been planning this one episode for, God, it seems like, August or September? And something always would come up, or we would be too tired. And finally we were recording this episode, which should have been done, months ago, as we were planning for I was planning originally doing season 2 in January, because I thought, well, you know, it would be a great way to kick off, you know, a year, but you know, things don't always happen that way, and it's all good. But it's just like, oh yeah. So we ended up watching this episode. At least me personally, I ended up watching these last two episodes probably about 6 times. So, and I'm probably still going to forget things because, well, that's just the way my brain works. But I absolutely love the character of Meg Masters in there, and she is, like you said, she is something special. To say the least. And there are some really great lines, especially from Devil's Trap, that, man, it just makes you want to hate her even more.
Got some good delivery, and then just some really biting, like the driest but most biting wit.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, real good. Real good stuff.
Yeah. And this is, I forget how much, what her arc was. She had quite a, this is like maybe, I think, her name is Nikki Anacox. She's the one that plays Meg Masters in the first season. I think she's got, about a 5 or 6 episode arc during season 1. Obviously Devil's Trap is coming to the end of this Meg Masters character. But fear not, she'll be back in the later seasons played by somebody else. But yeah, we get the return.
Spoiler.
Yeah, it's a rewatch, so yeah, there's spoilers abound, or spoilers aplenty, I should say. We get the return of Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Or at this point, can you really call it a return? I don't know, because he's been back for a couple episodes. So
yeah. Meow.
Yeah, there's quite a few. The Salvation provides quite a few different. What the fuck moments. Especially I liked when Meg Masters walks into the church and she guts the priest. I'm sorry?
Yeah, go ahead.
She kills Pastor Jim, and then that was pretty brutal. But you were going. Well, go on.
That was. Because she was all like super innocent, like, I've done some bad things, and I've hurt people, and blah de blah de blah. And then he's like, well, I think that, you know, anybody can be redeemed. And then she looks at him with her stupid black eyes, and he's like, I know what you are. And of course, he tries to run away. And why do they always run away? And he can't lock the door behind him, because that would make too much sense.
Well, he does. He puts that big that big board across the door. And then she just absolutely kicks it down. But my thing is, like, she's a demon. I don't know how she's can walk on hallowed ground like a church. That they never really explained it, other than the fact that she was so powerful that she could do that. But
right. I mean, and if you look into future episodes, they do, I think, I don't know what season it was, but they tie Crowley up in a church.
Right.
And he's there, but he's less powerful.
Mm.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe they decided to change the rules a little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean,
but
yeah, it just didn't make much sense. That one little thing. Again, I can overlook that because apparently she's a new. Her and Azazel we end up finding out later on that Azazel, Meg Masters, or the demon that possesses Meg Masters, is a daughter of Azazel, which is kind of strange because, you know, up until that point, we didn't know demons could have a family, which is also a really kind of cool a reveal, especially when the final moments of For Devil's Trap. But we'll get to that. But yeah, no, I really like the dark tone of the that continues on with season one with the grayed scenes being shot. I really like that kind of like foggy, like rainy, like cold feeling that kind of radiates from a few of the scenes. And there's one scene where the boys are talking to John, and John is saying, you know, they're going back and forth. Oh, they're going back and forth about Sam's visions. And John turns to him and says, "Hey, look, you pick up a phone when you start getting these kind of things, and you call me." And then the boys are like, "We've tried to call, you know." And then Dean's like, "We'd have better chance of winning a lottery than getting you on the phone." He's like, "Sam called you while I was dying, you know. What? We can't. We tried." And he's like, "My bad." Yeah. I'm like, "Well, you don't get to be the absentee father and then cry when nobody calls you."
Right, and then he's like, "I don't like this new attitude of yours, but you're right." And I was like, "Snap!"
Yeah,
Jenny Winchester.
Yeah.
I have a serious thing for Jeffrey Dean Morgan. It's like a problem.
Oh, you and about every other woman on the planet, and you know, sure. I don't see the appeal, but whatever.
No. Well, I watched, back in the day when I used to watch Grey's Anatomy, he was on that show for like a hot minute. When me and my mom would watch him, and she's like, "That's Dead Denny." I was like, "Yeah." When she would watch Supernatural, I'm like, "Dead Denny's on Supernatural, Mom."
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, it's funny you mentioned that because we, my wife is actually, or Christina is actually rewatching Grey's Anatomy from season one, and she's in the middle of season four, I want to say, right now. So she's been binging that again, and it was funny that the first few scenes, or the first, I want to say, maybe the second season is when Danny Duquette makes his appearance. I'm not sure exactly. I was walking out of the room. I wasn't watching it like continuously with her on the rewatch, but I was like, "Yep, there's Jeffrey Dean Morgan." And nobody dies better on television than he does, because he's right up there.
Yep.
I'm waiting for him to bite the bullet as Negan whenever Walking Dead decides. Okay,
don't do that for me, because I'm not caught up.
Oh, well, neither am I. I haven't watched The Walking Dead in, at least about two or three seasons. So, yeah, don't worry. There won't be any spoilers for that, because I don't know what's going on with that.
I'm closer caught up than you, but yeah. He's so good.
He is the bright spot of The Walking Dead right now, after, especially since, I guess, Rick had left and, you know, what's her face, Lauren Conrad left. I guess Lauren Conrad's coming back, you know. Also, another Supernatural alumni is over on The Walking Dead, so you probably already know that if you watch the show, or if you have half a brain cell. Yeah, they are both there. Which I find funny is that Lauren Conrad was on Supernatural for quite a while. She was on there for she had a returning character as Bella, and and then John was there. And what I find really funny is that they both played in a flashback scene. They played Bruce Wayne's parents that got killed in one of the Batman movies. So
oh my god,
a little fun facts and trivia for that. Yeah, so there you go. But yeah, getting back to the show or the episode, I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I like the way like Meg is systematically killing everybody that the boys and the that John knew never helped them, and she's just, all right, I'm just going to kill more people until you give me what I need. And yeah, and then we get to see John in his big old truck of monster hunting tools. Which is very cool.
Right. I do like, you know, they're driving down the road and they kind of pull off for a while and they're talking. But you do see that, like how you're saying how dark the episode was. Mm-hmm. It was almost, you know, how they used to take the black and white photos and they would color them in.
Yeah.
Because it looked like so dark, but like the characters themselves looked like more colorized than the rest of the scene. So I mean, I do like that. And then, you know, for them when they're like discussing on who to, you know, do we go, what do we do, what we're gonna do, and the cult and Meg, and now we gotta split up and this is bullshit. Mm-hmm. But you know, I kind of like that minute where they're like, and you know, their dad is like, this is my fight and now you have to finish it
and I'm gonna miss it, so don't screw up. And I liked the way they both said, you know, and where Dean says, he's the first one to say it. He says, Dad, if this goes sideways, just leave. It's not worth it. We'll regroup. And then he kind of says the same thing to them. And I thought that was a really nice moment. And then we see Sam actually putting, oh no, I'm sorry, that's Devil's Trap. I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry. I was going to say something, but that's a scene in the next episode. But, and was it Dean is off picking up a ringer at a pawn shop or at a antique store, and Dean is worried about, you know, the demons knowing it's a fake, and John's like, well, only a handful of people have seen it, a bunch of dead vampires in them, so they could it's pretty high that they won't recognize that it's a fake, and at least buy a little time. But as you know, John's got a few things up his sleeve. What were those things? As he's like some fail safes.
Oh yeah, with the holy water. So what did he do? Is that in Devil's Trap or isn't that in the Salvation? Because you're like all over the board. This was almost like a two parter.
Yeah, this is. I want to say this is Salvation. That's where he's got to go. And then in Devil's Trap, he's captured by Meg or by the demons. So he's got to go to, maybe am I getting ahead of myself? Am I?
I think you are.
Now you're making me question myself. Hold on. All right. So what do you remember?
Okay. So the boys they take care of their shit first.
Okay.
So what they do, I remember. Okay. So they divide up, they talk about the gun. They're going to separate, going to get the gun. They're like the fake. And the boys have the real one.
Right, right.
And then...
And
then Sam says he has his visions. And so he sees this family, you know, and stuff going on. And then the lady's walking down the street, and he runs up to her, and he's like, oh my God, she's gorgeous. Which is weird, I thought, for a dude to say that about a baby. Because what dude says that about a baby?
Yeah.
But Sam's kind of feminine like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they go through the whole thing, and then they're sitting in the car, they're waiting for the demon, they go and save the people, Dad's fighting them, and it was funny, too, because, you know, when the boys go upstairs, Sam saves the mom, but then Dean is carrying the baby out, like he did with Sam when Sam was
Yes, that good pickup on that, a flashback to earlier in the season when they were kids. Yes, so... That's perfectly what you said is the dad tells Sam and Dean that they've got to look at all that he's picked up on patterns of weather and different cattle mutilations and all these different kind of signs basically pointing in this direction, and how he learned from the same weather patterns and things like that for when Mary died and then when Jessica died, and now he's tracked it, and now he knows it's going to be here at this certain location. But they have to go to go to the local hospital and research all the kids that were born.
Right.
They were turning 6 months, like in this small time frame, And yes, so then after that, they get the gun at the the pawn shop or at the the antique store. They then John travels while the boys stake out the house. So John does go to the
Yeah,
okay. And he, but then
so
that's
the boys do all this stuff first, and then you see like I think it's John, you know, goes to whatever mysterious like warehouse bullshit thing that there is. He tells him where to drive, and he's like, "There's no way I can get there in time, and I can't carry a gun on a plane." And she's like, "Well, you better get here, or people are going to keep dying." Because while they're on the phone, oh, this is where. So they're in the motel, and she calls, and Sam answers,
right?
And he's like, "She's like, I want to talk to Daddy," and he's like, "I don't know where my dad is."
Yeah,
and. She says, "Let the grown-ups talk now."
Yeah, it's almost like cut the shit. We know, I know he's there. Let me talk. Yeah. Let the grown-ups talk. Yeah. And that's when she kills Caleb, another one of their friends. Yeah. And yes. So wow.
So then he moves off to the mysterious warehouse land of steam and water and darkness.
Yes.
There's like that water tower, you know.
Yeah, there's like,
I don't know what.
Yeah, there's like a reservoir or something like that, or some sort of thing. Yeah, water tower basically. And then he blesses the water and throws in a rosary. So now he's made a bunch of holy water.
Yeah, which and, I love that. I was like, oh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah,
screw the.
Which is funny because he was so battling for time, and yet somehow he's able to get there in enough time to set up all these like supernatural booby traps.
Yeah, like how fast were you driving?
Yeah, I'm like, did he get pulled over? Because if the cops searched his trunk, he would be arrested.
Right.
Yes, go on.
Like that, you just got to remember it's a television show, you know.
Where they fight monsters, yes.
I know, right? And, like, sometimes my kids will be like, that couldn't happen. Like, on a cartoon, they'll be arguing with it. I'm like, dude, it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, or it's a TV show.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Give me a break for a second, you know?
Yeah, well, like, yeah. Anytime it says when you're watching like a Marvel or DC, show, I'm like, yeah, well, that couldn't happen. But a lot of things couldn't happen. Like, I don't know, guys flying around and, you know, going into outer space. It's not going to happen.
A kid in a spider suit is hanging off the side of an airship. That's, you know, like, give me a break.
Yeah, that I remember from one of the trailers. I think it Endgame or the Infinity War, where Spider-Man's hanging outside. He's like, oh, there'd be no way. I'm like, well, I'm sure they'll explain it how he can do that because, yeah, technically, they will, you know, but come on. At the end of the day, it's a kid that can leap and swing by spider webs. I'm like, yeah. And trust me, I'm a big Marvel guy. I love Marvel. I love all the movies. And it's not a knock against it, it's a suspension of disbelief. Come on, let's just go with it.
Right. Exactly.
If you start questioning that, it's all going to peel away, and you're not going to have anything fun to talk about or watch.
Take it for what it's worth.
Yes. So.
You know, it's a TV show.
Yeah.
It's there for entertainment purposes. If it's, you know, sometimes these shows can get a little campy at times, but, you know, they're there for a good time. They're for entertainment. Just like, shut up and take it, you know.
Nope.
Just.
I think you're being buzzed. Are you being buzzed?
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. I'm on my kid's tablet, so it's probably telling me I have a game notification or whatever. As long as it's not for porn, I don't care.
You have to download the newest version of Roblox.
Yeah, right?
Because
apparently. I have gotten a new volcano thing for Minecraft? Yeah. Or, like. A new skin is available for Fortnite, or you're being challenged on 8-Ball. Okay. The only 8-Ball I have is a grown-up 8-Ball.
Okay. Anyway, getting back. So the boys have... they haven't defeated Azazel. Azazel escapes. So they waste... So Sam wastes a bullet because he shoots in the...
He like puffs into smoke.
Yeah,
it's like I think you watch like all of these seasons, and then you go back, and you're like, "What the fuck?" you know, for some of this stuff. But I, you know, it's like, okay, I get it. They were just starting out. They're like trying to develop these different rules for different things. Well, so it's like, I feel like I'm in a court, like, I'll allow it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and here's the thing, even as long as the boys have been hunting, even from season one, they're still learning things. Like when they talk to Bobby and Bobby divulges, like, well, haven't you ever seen a possession before? That's a demon possessing a body. There's a human person in there somewhere in that meat suit. You know, you can't hurt, you shouldn't, you know, you don't want to hurt them too much, because once you exercise a demon, you know, you're just left with the person with the injuries. And then they say, oh, well, Meg fell out of a 7-story window.
Yeah.
She dead. Anyway.
Episode.
Sorry, but yeah.
Because they end the show and Meg's like, you know, he's dead or whatever. What does she say? Like, I'm going to peel skin from your bones or some shit like that.
But that was just, I was using that for instance, because as long as the boys have been doing stuff, they're still learning on the job. sorry, boy, my throat. Sorry. Anyway, so.
Stop swallowing things that are so big.
What's that?
Nothing.
You know I'm going to have to go back and listen to this and edit this later, right? So you might as well just spill the beans now.
I just said you should stop swallowing big things. When I have a sore throat.
Oh, God. All right. Jerk.
Fine.
Oh, anyway. Okay. So Sam wastes a bullet, and we said, and as you mentioned, they take the kids out of the house, or they get the family out of the house, and there's a moment where even the father is confrontational after Sam and Dean have saved the kids and the wife, and he wants to punch him for a second because he has no idea what's going on.
He's like, no, they helped us, they saved us.
Remember that creepy guy I told you said our daughter was beautiful outside of our house? Yeah, that's the guy.
Oh, I know.
So Dad is now talking to Meg, and I forget what other kind of high-powered demon that her partner or Meg's partner is there. But Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character. What's the dad's name again? I think John. John hands the gun over to head demon. What's that?
You're having some problems today.
I am. It's late. I'm tired. We're recording this at like 9 o'clock in the 9:17 in the evening. I'm beat. But John,
people with kids.
Yes, kids and work and, you know, all that fun stuff. You know, all that adulting we have to do. But John hands the fake gun over to, like, head demon number one. And he's looking at it. He's like, huh, all right. And then he turns around and he shoots Meg with it just to test it to make sure it was real. It's like, you shot me. I can't believe you shot me.
I know, right? That was the best ever.
So, yeah. So she first, you know, in the previous episodes, I think it was Shadow, she falls out the window of the 7 stories, and now she's being shot by her partner. And so now they are, now John's on the run. What's that?
Gotta make sure it works.
Yeah. That was his whole reasoning behind it. And so now they're chasing John through this, you know, abandoned warehouse in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, I don't know. And that's where John's little traps come into play. So well, why don't you talk a little bit about that, Katie?
Well, yeah, because he put the holy water in there. So, like, you know, he releases a spray or something and kind of dodges out of there and then, like, locks the door behind him. And then he, like, trudges through a big pool of, like, water on the ground. And it turns out, well, yeah, it's holy water. So they can't go any further, and she's just like, give him a dirty-ass look.
Like, you clever boy. She's like, she almost reminded me of one of those Scooby-Doo moments, like, I would have gotten away with it if it was for you silly kids and that dog of yours. Like, yeah. She's like, okay, you win this round. But, you know, somehow, do you remember how John Gibbs captured? Because I don't think they really...
He runs out, and then all of a sudden, you see him get slammed against the building, like, you know... The invisible Darth Vader death grip has gotten him from one of them. And so that's it. Like, they must have doubled backed or whatever. And I think that's how it transpired.
Right, and that's pretty much the end of the episode. But I did like, obviously, you know, it's Supernatural, so I do have some comedic moments. The funniest moment was, and I don't know, I don't think this would even work in real life, getting back to that real life versus, you know, television scenario. I know the guys are, you know, girls think they're extremely handsome, but Dean walks into the hospital, and
where
medical records are, right? And she walks up, and of course, there's this gorgeous, you know, brunette behind the, you know, the desk. And she's like, "Can I help you, sir?" He's like, "Oh God, yes." I'm like, "All right." Now, if any of us normal, like, run-of-the-mill average Joes walk in and say, "Oh God, yes," they'd have security, like, following us around.
No, what's up, creepy?
Yeah. And then he throws out his badge, and then, you know, obviously they get all the, you know, information that they need, because it's just that easy.
And then plus, you got to think about the time, because when did this? This is the first year,
this
first
is
season,
2005, 2006. Yeah.
So they probably weren't as sensitive to that whole like thing yet, but yeah. Still,
yeah,
can't pull it now.
Yeah, that takes a lot. That takes some big balls.
Yeah, because if you would have said that to me at the daycare when I was watching the kids, I would have been like, "What?"
Yeah, we're gonna have to revoke your gym membership, and yeah,
I know. Like, yeah, you're a nice looking guy, but here's your kids, and I'll see you never.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, hey, Dean can get away with it because, well, he's a good looking dude with a badge, apparently. but yes, I thought that was funny, and just for different reasons. But yeah, it was a good episode overall. I mean, I think I want to say Netflix was giving this rating at the time. I'm going to bring it up real quick. It was 8.9 out of 10 stars. That's what the Internet Movie Database users and viewers were giving it out of like 3,784 votes. So it's ranked pretty high for the second to the last episode. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't really have too much else to say. Do you, Katie?
Not really. I know you're going to probably talk about the music from the movie or from the show in a little bit. But yeah. I don't know what it was, both on this one and Devil's Trap. I did not enjoy the intro music. I haven't really paid a lot of attention to that. Sometimes I'll just skip the recap.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I really didn't like either one of the opening songs that was on the show.
It's funny you mention that, because Netflix doesn't have the rights to all the music, like the classic rock that they use. I think we've touched upon this before. But yeah, so they have to use like the generic rock music, or rock music they can get rights to. So it's really hit or miss. And it really can't, after watching it for so long on like TNT and watching it on DVD and Blu-ray, it's very jarring to a viewer watching the same episode, watching a rerun, and then having different music where you know AC/DC or Metallica or, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd should be playing, and that you got, like, you know, Joe Schmo's band out there, and I'm like, this does not, this, it just feels wrong. So, yeah, and, thanks for the segue. The music used, thanks to our friends at TuneFind.com, Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas, and then Calling by Sober, and then the other song was called Calling by Sober Skin, which was done for the Netflix and digital version of the show. So, yeah. So if you really like that song, Katie, like you said you did, you can look up Calling by Sober Skin.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, I'm never going to get those few minutes of my life back. I mean, since I watched it like 6 or 7 times, so it added up a lot of minutes that I'm never going to get back. And my poor ears are scarred.
Yeah. Oh, you know, did you notice the sign for when they're entering Salvation? It says Salvation. It says like some sort of like a biblical quote, right? And then on the top, they said at the top of the sign, it says lottery jackpot up to like $8.3 million or something like that. I just thought that was hilarious, you know, because, you know, religion and gambling, it's fun.
Right? So, like, how do these churches get away with these raffles and stuff?
Well, I think it was like the, you know, like the big lotto for the state, not just like church bingo. But
I just thought that
was funny. It tickled my funny bone. So with that, I've got four fun facts. Number one, the town of Blue Earth, Minnesota, where Salvation Begins, is a real town in southern Minnesota, 9 miles from the Iowa border. Interesting.
And you would know.
No, I wouldn't. I'm like 5 minutes, 10 minutes over the border from Wisconsin. But you know that. You've been here once. So, the town of Salvation, Iowa, is fictional, number two. Number three, this is the first episode to feature a to-be-continued at the end, which is getting back to your thing of being a two-part episode. Number four, in this episode, when John is talking to Meg on the phone, she demands to meet him at a warehouse to give her the Colt. She says the warehouse is in Lincoln, Nebraska, on the corner of Wabash and Lake, which is clear reference to The Matrix. I didn't get that. I haven't really watched The Matrix in, well, about 15 years, so I don't know. Did you pick up on that?
Well, when you say Wabash and Lake, I think of the city.
Yeah.
Meaning Chicago, because that's the city.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, so those are the four fun facts for Salvation from season one. Well, it's time to hit the road again, but before that, let's take a quick pit stop and pause for our final Speakeasy commercial break, and then we'll roll that WB commercial trailer for Devil's Trap. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Mark.
And this is Dave.
Okay.
What?
What do you mean, what? Why do you sound slutty?
I was trying something new. You didn't like it?
No. No, I did not. Did you think it sounded good?
And this is Dave.
Alright, we're from Sequel This, a show where we attempt to write sequels to some of your favorite movies, such as Ghostbusters 3, Goonies 2, and Gremlins 3.
Well, you can check out all of our shows over at sequelthis.podbean.com. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, all the major pod places.
And if you can't find an episode that interests you, or you have a great suggestion, or a pitch yourself, we want to hear it from you. So please, email us at sequelthis@gmail.com and drop us a line.
And remember to flash it out.
What's wrong with you?
Everything and nothing.
Thursday.
They've got Dan.
All season long, they've been searching for the answers.
The demon's probably coming for us next.
Let it come.
We're not putting anybody dead.
Now, it all comes down to the powerful season finale.
Dad? He's not dead! He can't be! No!
Fresh Supernatural on the WB Thursday.
Katie, why don't you take it away?
All right. Devil's Trap, directed by Kim Manners, written by Eric Kripke, air date May 4th, 2006. After learning that their father has been captured, the brothers go to a family friend and fellow hunter, Bobby Singer, who's played by Jim Beaver, for help. However, Meg tracks them down, but is caught underneath a mystical symbol known as a devil's trap, which renders her immobilized and powerless. The brothers proceed to exorcise the demon, though they know it will kill the real Meg due to her injury sustained in Chicago. Before the real Meg dies, she offers a clue to John's whereabouts. Sam and Dean head to Jefferson City, Missouri, and rescue their father. However, Azazel soon reveals himself to be possessing John and attacks them. As Azazel tortures Dean, John is able to temporarily gain control and begs Sam to use the Colt to kill Azazel. Not able to bring himself to kill his father, Sam instead shoots him in the leg and Azazel flees. On the way to the hospital, the three are then crashed into by a large semi-truck with a demonically possessed driver.
Bum, bum, bum.
Right.
Yes.
So, what do you think of this episode?
I actually really, really like this episode a lot. I thought it was very well done. And it's funny that you mentioned in the previous episode how this feels like a two-parter, because I didn't get it until I read that thing. Well, yeah, to be continued. I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. This could have been like a special 2-hour season finale, but they split up into two parts. I really enjoyed it. I love the fact that the boys are. This is the first time we get to see Bobby Singer, and played by Jim Beaver, who was absolutely fantastic. He's one of my favorite characters in the show.
My favorites, so easy.
And he is just so good in so many things. I mean, he's a fantastic actor, and from what I gather, a really nice human being. But I digress. I love the fact that they go into Bobby's, and then you hear a dog barking. Sorry, excuse me. You hear a dog barking out in this junkyard, and then I forget what he calls his dog, but anyway, then all of a sudden you hear the dog go, and that's it. And then you see Meg kick down the door and come in. And it basically, she thinks she's got them right where she wants them. Only flip the script a little bit. They got Meg where they want her in the devil's trap. She's like going on and on about how she's very underwhelmed about how the boys are like all this big talk, and you guys kind of are like morons.
What does she do? She like flings Dean out of the way.
Right. Like across the room and into a bunch of books and stuff like that, yeah.
And then Sammy backs up Jim behind him. And he's like keeps moving back and he keeps moving him back. And then you see Dean come out of the corner from the books and like makes this little face and then looks up. And then she looks up and it's like kind of like that oh crap moment, you know?
Right. And there is some really one of my favorite moments in the show is where she's like handcuffed to the chair in the middle of this devil's trap, and Dean's asking her questions like, "Tell us where our father is," and she's like, "No." Well, so you got to ask nicely. He goes, "Tell us where our father is, bitch."
and she's like, "Kiss your mother with that mouth."
Oh, yeah, I'm like, yeah, that is like one of my favorite exchanges between those two. I'm like, oh man, he just wants to blast her right there.
Yeah, because you could say that to anybody, but their mom is dead because of her dad.
Yes, old yellow eyes, bitch. So he's like, that's all, you know, there's some moral conundrum between where the boys learn that for the first time, like I mentioned previously in the hour, that Meg is possessed and that there's a real human woman inside there, and that once the demon is exorcised, this woman will die because, well, she's fallen through the, you know, 7-story building onto a concrete, and then she's been shot. You know, she's toast. And Dean is like, we didn't know that she was possessed. And he's like, Bobby's like, you've never seen this before? Like, he's kind of shocked because, you know, figured they've been hunting and this never's come up before.
Like really like their first run-in with a true demon,
right?
Because they've just been fighting monsters all along, and then you know the rules have changed,
right? Well,
it's a demon,
right? And well, and I think Bobby even makes some mention of it. He's like, usually he hears about one to three demonic possessions a year. Right now, so far, there's been like 23 or 25, and so right. So he that's where he gets the famous quote, "The storms are coming, boys. You know, buckle up." So I guess in hindsight, it could be that, you know, they've never seen it, they never come across it, but still. You know, being hunters for that long, you think you'd at least run into one or two cases just by law of averages. But anyway,
I mean, I think that they were protected by their father for most of their young life. He probably has got no idea because he's, you know, been, you know, angry Sam, you know, against the whole hunting thing. And then, you know, Dean gets what Dean gets, and it seems like he gets the scraps a lot of the time up until, you know, recently. So, I mean, yeah, I could see where they wouldn't be aware of any of the demonic possessions, but
yeah,
I don't know. So, I love Bobby's house too, by the way. I mean, all the books and shit that is just everywhere.
Yeah, he's the maid must have a day off.
I know, right? He's like a lore hoarder.
Yeah, he should be on the show Hoarders. Oh my god. But so there again, the moral conundrum, like, well, what should they do? Dean's like, well, we gotta exorcise the demon, and then, you know, we gotta set her free, basically. Set the lady free. So, you know, they exorcise a demon, they get, and then after exorcise a demon, they can't be for sure what she was saying, because they were saying that John is already dead, and Dean doesn't believe it, but because you can't, and it, also you can't really believe anything a demon says, ever. It turns out that...
I was telling the truth!
Right, yeah. Not so much, not a demon.
The truth.
Yeah. So they exorcise the demon. They send the demon back to hell or wherever it is. Meg immediately collapsed, or they untied Meg from the chair, and she's quickly dying. But she does mention that John is still alive. The demon was lying, and that John's at sunrise, or John's near sunrise, or in sunrise. And so they're like, yeah. What does that mean? And then was it Wyoming, right? I believe it.
I believe so.
I'm just trying to go back to my notes here. Jefferson City, Missouri. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
So sunrise.
Oh, and, yeah, because, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
that's where he drives down to see that all that nonsense is Jefferson right. City, Missouri, and then, you know, she says sunrise. And then the boys are out on their way. And I don't know what they do. They stop near this, like, it looks like an elevated track of some sort. And Sammy starts writing, like, the symbols on the trunk in a wax mark, wax something.
Right. And Dean's like, why are you drawing on my car? He's like, it's a trap to keep the demons out of our trunk, so we could put the cult there, because we're not bringing the cult with us. And Dean's like, yeah, we are. And Sam's like, no, we're not. They're expecting us to bring the cult.
You gotta keep your junk in your trunk,
fellas. Keep your pistol in your trunk. Well, that's kind of weird, right? Yeah.
You can keep your pistol out of my trunk. That doesn't happen.
Anyway, so they put the cult
for business.
You don't see the magic cult? It's magically delicious.
Yeah. There's no special entrance.
So
you don't get to go around the back and have a secret password.
Knock twice.
Yeah, no. Just an entrance. You come in the front door all the time, or you don't come in at all.
God.
I want to climb through the upstairs window, but whatever.
Okay. I feel like this is taking a weird turn. But
right.
Anyway, so Dean decides to, we think, put the cult in the trunk.
A little bit. He's been drinking water all afternoon and evening.
What's that?
So, I think you got a little tinkle. Yes.
Oh, so Dean decides to put the cult in the trunk, or so we think. So they come upon the building, and it turns to be an apartment complex. And they're like, oh,
in front of it.
Yeah. He goes, oh my god, they could be possessing anyone. What a great place to, you know, hold up, because they can be literally anybody. So they have to devise a way to get into the building. And so, what happens, Katie?
Sammy goes in there and he pulls a fire alarm.
And the building?
And so then everybody has to evacuate the building, and then the fire department comes. And all I could think of is, like, when I was a kid and they say, like, don't pull the fire alarm because people will know if you did it. I was like, they're going to know he did it. Kids. School who would pull the fire alarm so we would get out of class at school.
Right, right. Oh,
so that's what I think of when he pulled the thing. So he pulls the fire alarm. You know, he's kind of wandering around, making sure people aren't like, you know, don't see him pull it.
Yeah.
Firemen come up, and then he picks the What does he do? He picks the lock on the
right.
It's like, how did he know? Do they carry extra gear like that with them?
I don't know. Firemen. I think they do. I think they have extra jackets and stuff like that. But who knows? But I love the way Dean is. Because you think Dean is. But how usually it happens is that they trick the fireman in it, or they trick like the fireman or the guard or whoever it is, and then they punch him and knock him out and take their clothes. But they don't. They there's a little bit of a swerve because they don't knock out the fireman. All he does is pull the tensions away so Sam can get the stuff out of the truck. But I love that Dean's like, I really got to get back in the apartment building. My Yorkie's up there. He's got a bladder of a peanut. He's going to pee all over the place.
Like you when I'm telling my jokes.
Yes.
So funny. He's like, my Yorkie. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then they both put the things on. And what is he like? He's like, I always wanted to be a fireman when I grew up.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know how they like these little, you know, fantasies and stuff. Like what they wanted to be when they grew up. But then, you know, they're monster hunters. Like they did in, we were talking earlier about Scooby-Doo, the Scooby-Doo episode.
Right, right.
And like, you know, it's kind of Dean's like wet dream.
Yes.
True.
Yes. I've not to get too over, but I really did enjoy the Scooby-Doo episode. I thought that was really fun and really... really funny too, but
a lot of throwbacks.
And Warner Brothers owns both things, so why not put them in a cartoon? Pretty much, Supernatural's pretty much done everything they possibly can on television. Why not animate them for an episode?
It was a really good episode.
Yes. So the boys are walking through the building in their fireman gear, and they're knocking on the doors, making sure people are getting out. And obviously, there's one couple that staying in for the night.
Staying in for the fire.
Yeah. Well, where they've gone, it's probably a little bit warmer anyway. So I don't think they're worried about a little fire. So.
And I love how like. What do they have? Their backpacks, you know, they're supposed to be filled with water. They're filled with holy water. So they spray these two idiots down and, like, push them in a closet or something. And put some stuff around.
Right, right. That's right. And then they test John to make sure. They throw holy water on him as well. And John seems to be fine. And they sneak out the fire escape before the demons knock down the door of the closet, but they still can't get out because a salt line that is put around the closet door and on the window. So the demons escape the couple, and they find the nearest police officer or paramedic, right? The two demons start infecting other people to find John and Sam and Dean, and they limp out down the fire escape and I guess an alley, and they run into one of Azazel's other children, his boy, and you know pretty much beats the living snot out of Sam. I mean, he's literally punching his face into the ground. And Dean pulls out the Colt, right?
Yeah, well, because he is not a good listener.
Yeah, yeah. He whips it out, points and shoots. Oh.
Goes in through the devil's back door.
Yeah, and bye bye to Azazel's son. But wasting another bullet. So now we were at three, now we're down to one. So there's one bullet left for the Colts. And they need to save that so they can kill Azazel. So
right.
Dean picks up, you know, Sam off the ground and picks up his teeth and everything else and picks up John, and they go to a cabin. They don't make mention. I don't know where they're squatting. They just find some rando cabin in the middle of nowhere.
A lot of times that stuff's not explained. It's kind of like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm like, you know, anything could have been okay. I mean, a motel or something like that, or, well, maybe not a motel, But yeah, I don't know, a cabin. It's weird. But yeah, they just find some. You know, did they rent it? Did they?
Maybe some bomb hideout or something.
Possibly, yeah. It was never really made. They just they never said anything. They're just like, yeah, we're here. We found this place, yeah. Conveniently away from everybody.
Yeah. You make use their own imaginations.
Yeah. So they're in this. They're in this you know, very rustic cabin. You know, preparing to for it all to go down. Sam is salting the windows and the, you know, doors and stuff like that, and. I think was it at one point John was sleeping, right? I think for at the beginning of the scene. Because they start talking to.
There's something going on, and then like Sam kind of like realizes like, oh snap, that's a demon. That's not Dad.
Well, they're talking about they hear some rustling, I guess, coming from the from the woods and everything like that, and that's when the John says, "Oh my God, the demons are coming! Salt the windows, salt the, you know, every entranceway, and give me the gun, Dean. We got to be prepared for this thing." And then Dean's like, "You know, Dad'd be furious. I wasted a bullet, you know." And he's slowly putting it together, and you know, from a rational point of view. And he's talking to John. John's like, "Give me the gun. We don't have time for this. They're coming and they're going to kill us all." All this kind of like, yeah. You know, blah blah blah. And then Sam walks over or hobbles over, and you know, he's all beat up from, you know, the previous fight. And he's like,
"No, no." Mouth on tape and like, "What?"
And he goes, "No, he's right. Dad would be furious. We're not giving you anything." And that's when, you know. You know, was it John puts his head down, his eyes up? He goes, "I had you fooled for a little while." So, yeah.
Yellow eyes, man.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, so he.
Scott Farkas. That's what it is.
What's that?
Scott Farkas from A Christmas Story.
Oh yeah. The bully.
Those yellow eyes.
Oh, God. So, all right, Katie, so what happens next? What does Yellow Eyes do to the boys and to John?
Well, what does he... I don't know. What does he do? I think he pushes the boys up against the wall, and, you know, he's got his yellow eyes out, and he's grinning like an a-hole.
Yeah.
I don't think I fell asleep.
What's that?
I don't remember because I might have fallen asleep for a little bit there.
Oh, God. That's my M.O.
I know what happens at the very end, but yeah. I know he's talking to the boys about something. I just can't remember what.
Yeah. So, he flings both Sam and Dean against the opposite wall, and he takes the gun. And he throws the gun across the room. And he's like, "You know, I could have killed you, you know, five times over today, but this is the sweetest ever." And he's like, and Dean's like, "I'm going to kill you where you stand." You know, he's like, "That'll be a neat trick," kind of thing. And, you know, so then he's got them, you know, pushed up against the wall, and Dean starts to wrench in pain. He's using this demon Jedi mind trick thing, or not mind trick, but the force, and just literally squeezing the life out of Dean and crushing his bones. And, you know, you could see the blood coming out of his mouth, and he's wincing in pain. And then he turns to Sam. He's like, "Go on, second boy, make the gun float to you and kill me." Like, yeah. Use the force, Sam. Get it.
Exactly. And then that's when Jeffrey Dean Morgan kind of comes through and overpowers the demon for just a minute and like, right. "Just do it, Sam!"
Right. Shoot me now! You kill me now! And, well, you know, Sam doesn't follow rules too well, and Sam is always conflicted. Always conflicted. You know, you're shoot your dad and you're gonna kill him, but also gonna kill the demon too. He ends up shooting the demon in the leg, and they're shooting John in the leg, and the demon escaping. You know, the boys and John are now severely beat up and kind of really worse for wear. John's been shot in the leg. Dean has been. We don't know what happened to Dean. I mean, he's just, you know, internal stuff. I mean,
he's messed up.
Yeah, I mean, internally he's messed up. And then Sam is just, well, Sam is still licking his wounds from, you know, getting into that big fight with Azazel's son. And so they hop into the Pala, and they're driving down the road, and we think everything is okay. And, well, from your synopsis, you know, the big old trucker, the demon trucker, smashes into their car. And what happens, Katie?
Well, he does a number on the car. That's what happens. And then, so then the driver gets out, and Sammy's sitting in the front seat, and he's got the Colt in his hand. And the trucker demon is like, "You're really going to waste your last bullet on me?" And then Sam's like, "Try me."
Yep.
You know? And he's all, I mean, like, he's a mess. Dad's next to him, totally, like, out, messed up. Dean's in the backseat, hot mess. Like, everything's a mess. And Sam's sitting there trying to be a super badass when you know he's, like, all kinds of messed up.
Yeah,
try me.
Yeah, 2 seconds from passing out himself.
And so, the demon comes out of the trucker's mouth, and the trucker's all like, "Did I do this?" You know?
Oh my God! Yeah. So, and we roll credits, and that's season one. So yeah, for better or for worse, that is season one. Katie, I can't remember. Did you like this episode a lot? What are your thoughts and feelings on it?
I really did like that. I mean, it was a good second half you know, it was a good two-parter. Second half ended well. You know, if I think I had been watching it, like, from the beginning, I would have been super frustrated to have to wait for another season of it. Because it's like, okay, they're in this car crash, then what? You know, I like it. Yeah. I like things wrapped up in a happy little bow, but I get, like, they have to do these things, so you have to come back and watch it the next season. it was so good. It's like they did all this mag stuff. They introduced the Devil's Trap. They introduced Bobby, whom I love, and you know, and it was like this internal struggle of, you know, do I shoot my dad? Do I shoot my dad? Like, I don't know. I felt like, too, you know what they could have done? Is they could have dug that bullet right out of John's leg and put it back in his gun. What are you wasting that shit for?
Yeah, is the magic gone from it then? Why not use it over?
Well, why not? It's a bullet.
Yeah, why not dig the other bullet out of the wall from the lady's house where they saved the kid in the nursery? You get those two bullets back. It's all good.
Yeah. What is it? Operation on Azazel's kid's body.
Yeah. Ooh, we just solved the problem. We could use those three bullets over and over again.
I know they come up with a way on how to do that later in the thing. I kind of forget. I kind of remember, but I'm not going to spoil it right now.
Yeah,
so.
I do know Bobby at one point was working with the Colt, trying to experiment with ways to make more ammunition for the demon killing Colt. But yeah, that's got probably 3 or 4 seasons down the road. So, three seasons down the road. Anyway. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed both episodes. I give them a thumbs up. That's why they have cliffhangers, Katie. You know, I'm gonna mansplain it to you.
Yeah, mansplain it to me.
See, Katie, when you have a cliffhanger, it brings the audience back for more. Do you get?
Yeah.
Do you understand that? Oh God.
A lady doesn't finish.
What's that?
Is it like the same thing? When a lady doesn't finish?
stay tuned for season two.
There's your cliffhanger, bitch. Yeah. Great. Thanks a lot.
But I love this episode for all the same reasons you did. The introduction of Bobby, who's going to play such a more integral part, and it's nice to have Bobby around as like the father figure, and he is just fantastic. And even the introduction of Rufus later on down the road, where he makes a few appearances. They could have done a spinoff with Bobby and Rufus for all I care. that would have been great TV.
I thought maybe the dog for a minute was named Rufus, but I know it wasn't. It just, yeah. Like, what is that dog's name? Yeah. I'm like, Rufus? I'm like, no, that's the dude.
You know, but honestly, it could be. Who knows?
We'll have to do, like, a little Wikipedia search or something.
Yes. But I don't have too much else to say about this episode. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
Nothing. It was fantastic. Nothing. I loved it.
Thumbs up all the way around. Yes, yes,
that's
yes.
That's right. Thumbs way up.
Your butt.
Jackass.
Oh, God. But anyway.
Up your own ass, along with your head, because I know that's where you have to keep it.
Yeah, it's warm up there. What are you going to do? It's Minnesota. It's warm. You know, whatever. So Devil's Trap, currently in Internet Movie Database rating, is the rating for this episode is 9.3, so a little higher up from the previous week's episode. So, yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. As now for the music used, which is always, you know, our favorite part of the show. I know it's mine. Thanks to our fine friends at TuneFind. Number one was Fighting the Good Fight by Triumph. Number two was Turn to Stone by Joel Walsh. Number three was Bad Moon Rising by Clearwater Revival. Great song.
Love. That was a good part.
And then these next two songs are from the Netflix, you know, television version, because as we talked about, sometimes Netflix can't get all the musical rights. So we get Blackwater Rising by Steve Cover and Won't Fall Down by Steve Fisher, both on the Netflix versions. So, yeah, if you're like Katie and love the Netflix version of music, you can check those out.
I only love the Creedence. I see a bad moon rising. So let me tell you a quick story.
Okay. So when I,
really quick.
Okay.
So when I was younger and I got my license, me and my sister could only drive around in, like, our parents' crappy old station wagon. And so you could either play, like, maybe some of the stations on FM radio, and we had two tapes, and these were the only two tapes that we could play in the car without them getting eaten.
Oh.
It was Metallica's Black Album, and then Creedence Clearwater Revival, like the best hits or whatever it was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm very, very familiar with some CCR, so.
Yeah, they're great. But, yeah, hey. You guys were, Dean and Sam, the girl versions, running, driving around town, listening to your cassette collection. Yeah, in your cassette collection, cassette tape collection.
We were not lucky enough to have any Kansas or Boston or anything. It was Metallica's Black Album and CCR. So
well, that's some good listening.
All y'all should be real jealous.
What's that?
I said all y'all should be real jealous.
Yeah, cassette tapes. They're the wave of the future. Oh, gosh. And with that, I've got three fun facts. Or no, four fun facts. Bobby Singer, family friend of Dean, seeks out help is a ref. I'm sorry. Bobby Singer, friend of the family, Dean seeks out help is a reference to executive producer Rob Singer. So if you didn't know that Robert Singer is was an executive producer and showrunner from the very beginning of the show, and really a cool guy. I saw him at the convention, and he's very knowledgeable about just television in general. Number two, this is the highest rated episode of season one. Wow. Number three, Jim Beaver's character, Bobby Singer, was only supposed to appear in this episode. However, he soon became popular on the show and came back many times. Number four, the first time in the show that a human body possessed by a demon and later angels was referred to as a meat suit. I didn't catch, but, you know, we've been watching the show for so long, but yeah, that's the first time that they're referred to as a meat suit. And that's it for fun facts. So
that is fun.
Yes. Yeah. FF.
My kids call their bodies meat suits sometimes.
Are they possessed by anything?
Yeah, by stupidity.
That's not really a demon.
No.
Oh, gosh. Well, Another episode. Another Men of Letters episode has come to an end. We hope you enjoyed our recap of season one, and we'll stick around for season two, coming hopefully sooner rather than later. Please stay tuned to our Facebook page for updated information. Also, head over to our Apple link at the At Horror Show podcast and leave us a 5-star review. These reviews and comments truly do shape our show. So with that, take care, jerk.
Thanks, bitch.
Good night, and we'll see you on down the road.
Thanks for tuning in to Men of Letters over at the Speakeasy Podcast Network, where talk is cheap and so are we. You can follow the Speakeasy Podcast Network over on the Facebook. Just type in the Speakeasy Podcast Network in the search bar and we'll pop right up. Be sure to like the page to keep up with all the great shows that are on the Speakeasy Podcast Network. Also, if you would like to reach out and contact MOL, you can drop us a line over at our official email address at menofletterssupernatural@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Also, the Speakeasy Podcast Network is on the Twitter machine over at the Speakeasy One. So be sure to check out the Speakeasy Podcast Network on Twitter. Thank you and have a great night.
Thank you for listening to Men of Letters.